I'm going to call this meeting to order of the Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors for July 22nd, 2014. Please rise for a pledge of allegiance to their flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to put the presentation for Child Support Awareness Month off into the later on into the meeting. We will begin this morning with public comment for any members of the public who wish to comment on an item that is not on today's agenda. I have no speaker cards. If anybody has anything to say, now would be the time. Okay, then state your name for the record.
Good morning. Emerson Drake, longtime Modesto resident, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen out in the public, although there's not many of us here today, I noticed. Today I wanted to talk about the business community in Modesto in particular and the county periphery. It's amazing to me what goes on here. It's a sense of entitlement. Usually when they say that, they're talking about the poor or the indigent. But this time, it's the business community. You know, we just watched and grant $425,000 worth of free parking to a company that's moving, quote-unquote, downtown. Well, you know, part of their people have been here all along. And they're not only doing that, as a second step, our friend David Boring from the Downtown Improvement Association, the second step of what they're trying to accomplish is to say, we're going to open up the parking structures to the public, which will basically be the business owners and their workers, because they arrive early. It's not trying to put a divide. It's just time-wise that makes sense. And we're going to charge the people that we want to draw downtown for parking. Now, it wasn't all that long ago. I'm sure you all remember we had meters downtown. And we said, you know, the best way to bring people down is let's provide free parking in front of the businesses they want to go to. Now the climate's changed. They've decided that these business owners and their workers and anybody that wants to park in the parking garage can do so free. But the citizens that paid for the parking garage, they don't get to. When I was talking to Hank yesterday, he mentioned that, nobody ever parks on the top of the parking garage right here by 1010. And as I was walking up to it, I happened to notice, yes, there's a car up there today. And I pointed out to him at the time, you know, that's just not true. I've been here several times where the parking garage is closed because it's filled. He says, okay, well, maybe I made an exaggeration. My question is, why did you say it in the first place? The idea that the public has to pay for parking to work or to go to these stores is just incredible. The idea that we have to pay for a perk for their employees is just obnoxious. And the best part was at the city council meeting. I know you probably don't watch it very often, but a gentleman got up and said, you know, 65 jobs are coming here. That means 1.4 for every job coming down. Well, okay, but those are minimum wage jobs. He says, but we need minimum wage jobs. Another gentleman gets up, the last speaker of the night, and says, it's not only 65 to 100, it's 200 feet. And I'm thinking, do you own a shoe store? Is that important to you? Well, the way I see it, that's 1,000 fingers all reaching into the public's wallet. And I don't think it's right. You know, in our business community, we have an issue with the periphery, like I mentioned. We talk about Beard Industrial, who got the most favored nation status, if you will, that LAFCO supported because the city of Modesto asked for it. And LAFCO said, well, we supported it because the city supported it when they didn't have to sign the waiver. And I took exception to that because a citizen was there to complain. He said, you know, it's not right because they're trying to change some of our farmland into job parks. But they're not going to absolve them of having to pay city taxes. They're not going to absolve them of the city utility tax. No. Like they did Beard Industrial. And what's interesting about Beard is, you know, they have their own, it's M&ET, that's their rail line. Well, when I worked for S&W, part of Tri-Valley, we thought, well, as many rail cars as we bring in, we'll get a discount. Because after all, at the time, it was about 2.5 times the cost to spot a car. They say, you know, one of the reasons businesses don't come down here is because of the people, because of the workforce. I think it's because of some of the businesses that already exist, because they weren't willing to negotiate. And recently, in the Beard Industrial Park, a manufacturing company wanted to expand. They've already got a couple hundred people here. Manufacturing, not a warehouse job, manufacturing. And of course, Beard didn't want to sell. And there's another property just down the block, so to speak, that they were looking into, and they talked to Beard's, or to the M&ET, and they said, you know, why do you charge us so much? They say it because of our exceptional service. So this company turned around and responded, well, why don't you put our rail cars in the right way instead of backwards? It costs us damage every time we unload a rail car. They said, well, your competition didn't complain. What needed to be pointed out was the competition that didn't complain is the empty building down the block. They're no longer in Modesto. Because our businesses, some of our business owners are so concerned about milking every drop they can. How about Dew's Restaurant? Remember, they used to be near the Gallo until we opened it up, and all of a sudden the rent went up 3 times? You know, it's our business community that needs to pay attention. When we provide a service, you know, in the M&ET, it's a Lone Ranger there. They said, we're competitive in our prices because nobody else can come down there. They own their private railroad and the tracks. So the next time a business owner gets up here and complains about the environment and the attitudes people have, please look them in the eye, challenge them with the truth, point out that the garage does get used. Oh, and by the way, there's a public record request in with the city to find out how many other sweetheart deals we have over these parking garages, because we noticed the one on 11th Street is almost always full. Gentlemen, you have a great day. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Mr. Drake. Dave Gear.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Board of Supervisors. It's good to see you all again. I can't believe I'm here second week in a row, but it's of a issue that is of such importance to the nation that I'm compelled to come and speak to you. This evening, at the AMC Theater Complex in Manteca, where the Bass Pro Shop is located on the south side of 99, a two-hour program is being presented by an organization that has been studying the Common Core State Standards issues for 2 years. And I implore all of those of you who can attend, or anybody in the audience or watching on television, to take advantage of this opportunity to watch up to 100 experts. There are not going to be 100 people in the audience in the studio. There are going to be 100 people there to share their experience and their concerns about the new Common Core standards, which are under attack all over the country. Our governor, unfortunately, has been drinking the Kool-Aid, and he's in it up to the hilt. So I implore you, in fact, I'll spring for a ticket for any one of you or all of you who would be willing to go tonight. It's at 8 p.m. AMC Theater in Manteca. You will get an education. The history standards are starting to come out. They'll be abhorrent to the vast majority of the people of this country. And many of them will take their kids out of public schools just over the history standards. And I hope they do. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Gear. Is there anyone else who'd like to address this board under the public comment period on an item that is not on today's agenda? So please come to the podium, state your name for the record.
Good morning, Board of Supervisors. Joan Rothschild, Modesto, California. Got here a little late, but I have my yellow slip here. I would like to address the board on an item concerning water and our water usage in the area. I had made a presentation to Modesto Irrigation District on June 11th, and I would like to read the presentation that I gave to them. I feel this is very important because since January there have been 12 letters to the Modesto Bee concerning desalinization of our water and making more water available. I'd like to read my statement, and I have a copy for each of the members here. If leaders years ago had the foresight to build more water storage, such as dams and underground basins, farmers would not be facing disaster today. We need a plan that embraces long-term sustainability. The Water Advisory Committee did not create a plan that embraces long-term sustainability. Historic resistance to desalinization is based on a prohibitive cost, $800 to $900 per acre foot. It is time to revisit legislative incentives for turning salt water into fresh water. By the way, the Dow Corporation can process 15 million gallons of salt water into fresh water in 1 minute using reverse osmosis. This technology is currently being used at St. Martin's in the Caribbean, Saudi Arabia, Japan, and even San Diego. Desalinization, making water, shows greater logic than just building storage for rain that may not come. A permanent drought solution is to manufacture water as needed. 90% of the California population lives within 30 miles of the Pacific Ocean. Coastal communities could build desalinization plants to supply their needs. The Bay Area takes at least half of the Sierra water in our region. Sierra water should be used to irrigate farms and keep fisheries healthy. Long-term desalinization would be less costly financially and environmentally than building only large storage projects. Building only dams is 19th century technology. Desalinization is 21st century innovation. Do we want high-speed rail and twin tunnels to nowhere, or dams, a source of clean hydroelectric power, canals, and desalinization plants? We have an unlimited supply of water offshore called the Pacific Ocean. The technology is available, and the money could be available so that mountain and valley areas get their water from wells, rivers, and dams, and coastal areas get their water from desal plants. By the way, all Navy ships have desal plants that supply up to 400,000 gallons per day of fresh water for 6,000 Navy personnel. This daily amount of fresh water from desal plants would be enough for 2,000 homes. Sending Northern California water to Southern California at a cost of over $16 billion makes little sense. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, on his recent visit to our state, said, California doesn't need to have a water problem. Israel, an arid country, has no water problems because, among other things, they use desalinization. All of that is within our technological fingertips. We simply need the will to make it happen. And by the way, my resources for this article that I put together was thevalleycitizen.com from Bruce Froman and Eric Kane. And I have copies of this article, the statement I just read, for everybody on the dais, and I'd like to have it entered in the public record. Thank you very much. Questions or comments?
Amen.
Thank you, sir. All right.
Could you give your speaker card to the clerk of the board?
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for your comments, Joan. Anyone else would like to address this board on a non-agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we will move to the consent calendar. Does any member of this board wish to pull an item from consent? Any member of the audience wish to pull an item from the consent calendar? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to accept this consent calendar.
Motion to approve the consent calendar.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. We approve the consent calendar. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, motion's carried 5-0. We will now move to agenda item B6.
Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, CEO Risen, County Council Doreen.
Time's up, get it.
Don't do me any favors. Thank you, Christine. Passed, right? Okay, good morning. Joining me at the staff table this morning is Sydney Tomlinson from the Chief Executive Office also. We're here to address a year-end 2013 2014 adjustments for the prior fiscal year. We have a brief presentation for you in addition to the staff report available. Throughout each fiscal year, departments have numerous opportunities to analyze and adjust their budgets. The Chief Executive Office provides quarterly reports to the Board of Supervisors in order to recommend adjustments to end the year in a positive fiscal position. Departments can also request budget adjustments as part of an agenda item outside of the normal budget process. And finally, adjustments can be made up to year-end close, which is July 31st of each year, in order to fund the obligations that occurred by June 30 of each year. For fiscal year 2013-2014, budget adjustments are recommended in three departments: County Council, Chief Executive Office General Fund Match Vehicle License Fees, Chief Executive Office Risk Management Other Employee Benefits and Medical Self-Insurance Program, and the District Attorney Criminal Asset Forfeiture Budget. If approved, these adjustments will be funded from appropriations for contingencies, increased departmental revenue, and retained earnings. In the third quarter financial report, County Council was identified as potentially needing a year-end budget adjustment, resulting in additional general fund support. It is estimated County Council will have a revenue shortfall in the amount of $215,000. This revenue shortfall can be attributed to the long-term absence of one attorney and fewer billable hours to non-general fund departments than originally anticipated when the budget was built. This revenue shortfall will be offset with approximately $171,000 in appropriation savings, resulting in an additional net county cost need of $44,000. It is requested this need be funded from appropriations for contingencies, which requires a four-fifths vote of the Board of Supervisors. This budget adjustment is the only request for the use of appropriations for contingencies. I want to take just a moment to let you know where we're at with appropriations for contingencies this year. This budget serves as a contingencies fund for the county to provide sufficient funding for emergencies and unanticipated expenses. Transfers from this fund require a four-fifths vote of the Board of Supervisors. The 2013-2014 adopted final budget included $4.4 million in appropriations for unexpected fiscal and program financial exposures or emergencies, which may occur as a result of the economic decline, reductions in federal and state revenues, or other program and community needs. Through May 31st of this year, transfers from appropriations for contingencies were approved by the Board of Supervisors, totaling $1.5 million to date. The Chief Executive Office Vehicle License Fees. As part of the 2013-2014 mid-year financial review, the Board of Supervisors approved an increase in appropriations and estimated revenue of $1.28 million and the Chief Executive Office Vehicle License Fee budget for a total budget of $13.64 million. Since that time, revenue has come in higher than estimated as a result of receiving prior year's growth funding in the Social Services Program. In addition, as part of the state's adopted budget for 2013-2014, Assembly Bill 85 was passed that restructured portions of the 1991 realignment funding for the advent of health care reform. This restructuring included swapping county realignment revenue from sales tax to vehicle license fees as part of the shift of funds out of the county health subaccount into a new CalWORKs subaccount. It is recommended to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $1 million to appropriately account for realignment funds received during the 2013-2014 fiscal year. The Risk Management Other Employee Benefits budget will require an increase in both estimated revenue and appropriations by $21,000. Of this amount, $15,000 can be attributed to increased cost allocation plan charges stemming from higher than anticipated salary and benefit costs. This increase in costs will be offset fully by a $15,000 increase in estimated revenue due to increased administrative fee revenue. The remaining $6,000 increase in appropriations and estimated revenue is related to an administrative agreement with MassMutual for the Deferred Compensation Program. Estimated revenue for this program is coming in higher than expected, and this additional revenue will be used to reimburse some department salary costs for staff who participated in the oversight of the Deferred Compensation Program. During the mid-year financial report, it was conveyed that revenue was tracking slightly lower than original projections in the Risk Management Medical Self-Insurance Program due to a reduction in early retiree numbers and a shift of members from high-cost plans to lower-cost plans in the 2014 plan year. No adjustments were made at that time. However, as the variance was not expected to be significant, since the budget was continuing to track near original budget estimates overall, the third quarter report concluded that any adjustments to this budget would be made at year-end if necessary. Unfortunately, our June claims experience exceeded expectations by over $2 million, resulting in a necessary appropriations increase. Although the year-end accounting is not finalized, it is anticipated the budget will need an additional $2.1 million in appropriations, and the deficit in retained earnings will increase by $1.8 million. While the fiscal year 2013-2014 financial performance of the program was impacted by a significant change in June 2014 claims, the final deficit position of the program of approximately $8 million at year-end is consistent with the forecast for the program when establishing rates for the 2014 plan year. Analysis of the first 6 months of the 2014 plan year demonstrates that the current insurance rates have succeeded in eliminating the ongoing deficit spending in the program, with revenues currently on track to exceed expenditures by approximately $2 million in the 2014 plan year. The District Attorney Criminal Division Asset Forfeiture Funds may be used for non-personnel costs that enhance or support the prosecution process. During the fiscal year, computer equipment consisting of computers, tablets, a server, and software was purchased using funds from the District Attorney Criminal Division budget. It has been determined that it is appropriate to transfer these costs from the Criminal Division budget, which is a general fund budget, to the Criminal Division Asset Forfeiture budget, a special revenue fund, which could have paid for this equipment initially. Although year-end accounting is not finalized, it is estimated an additional $30,000 in appropriations is needed to cover the cost of these purchases. Currently, $57,898 in appropriations is budgeted for fiscal year 2013-2014, and with this adjustment, the legal budget will now be $87,898. However, there is a potential the actual need will be less. Currently, this fund has a cash and fund balance of $90,248. For carryover designations, each year the adopted budget includes funding for specific projects that may not reach completion in that specific year. Carryover designations allow departments to carry over the spending authority for the specific projects from one year to the next. On June 10, 2014, as part of the adopted proposed budget, $2.2 million in carryover designations were established for fiscal year 2013-2014, funding for projects that will occur in fiscal year 2014-2015. It is recommended to establish additional carryover designations of approximately $1.6 million for the items that are listed in your board report and also in the presentation here. Those include the South Modesto Neighborhood Cleanup, Crow's Landing Air Facility Environmental Consulting Services, Crow's Landing Air Facility Planning and Environmental Services, various clerk recorder projects, which include general office renovations and updates, including computer and software upgrades, replacement of public counters, and the HVAC system for the 1021 I Street location, and Public Works Morgan Shop to fund costs associated with the design phase of the heavy equipment shop. We have six recommendations before you today. First recommendation is to authorize the Chief Executive Officer and Auditor Controller prior to year-end to decrease estimated revenue by $215,000 and appropriations by $171,000, resulting in an increase in general fund contributions of $44,000 in the County Council budget, funded by a transfer from appropriations for contingencies by four-fifths vote of the Board of Supervisors. Authorize the Chief Executive Officer and Auditor Controller prior to year-end to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $1 million in the Chief Executive Office General Fund Match Vehicle License Fee budget. Authorize the Chief Executive Officer and Auditor Controller prior to year-end to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $21,000 in the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division Other Employee Benefits budget. Authorize the Chief Executive Officer and Auditor Controller prior to year-end to increase appropriations and estimated revenue by $2.1 million in the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division Medical Self-Insurance budget. Authorize the Chief Executive Officer and Auditor Controller prior to year-end to increase appropriations by $30,000 in the District Attorney Criminal Division Asset Forfeiture budget. And finally, authorize the Auditor Controller as part of the year-end close to establish carryover designations in the amount of approximately $1.6 million of unencumbered, unexpended appropriation savings in the Chief Executive Office Community Development Fund, Chief Executive Office Crow's Landing Air Facility, Clerk Recorder, and Public Works Morgan Shop budgets. That concludes our brief report this morning. Staff are available to answer any questions, and additionally, our department heads from the respective departments are also available to touch base on any of the specific issues in our report.
Are there any questions for staff? Supervisor O'Brien?
What would be the effect if we didn't do this? I mean, the year's over. It's not going to change what we spent or what we collected. To me, this is, we've overspent some budgets. It's quite clear. We didn't manage some things properly. And it appears these adjustments are just to make the books appear better than they are at the end of the year. So what's the downfall if we were not to make these adjustments?
The specific technical result is going to vary by department based on what type of fund they are and how it's overspent, but some of these departments are going to bust budget in terms of their appropriation spending.
But we already spent the money. We've already done this, correct?
And do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, if I could comment, they would first of all fall out as audit exceptions when we go to do our audit.
But they are.
Yeah. Well, although some of these issues such as county council, we've apprised the board of as we've gone along. We just didn't know what the dollar amount was going to be. So we gave kind of a heads up, for example, in mid-year in the third quarter report that there were issues related. And we typically come in on areas like that where we've apprised the board in advance. And rather than give them more spending authority than is needed, we wait until kind of it gets close and then come in and do this cleanup. But this is entirely at the board's discretion. You're correct. You could not approve these, and then they would just fall out as audit exceptions.
Thank you. Supervisor Littrow?
The only thing I see with this, the good part about this is that, we do have this contingency fund. And so, and as I can see here, the contingency was 4.4. It looks like we're going to get it down to about 2.8. So we're going back and we're kind of reconciling and saying, here's contingency money. And Bill, you're right, we've overshot some of these budgets for sure. But I hopefully that's what this contingency is for. And so then we actually go back and kind of reconcile this thing and say, okay, we're going to use this amount of the contingencies for these budgets that overshot the mark and hopefully it doesn't happen all the time. But I guess I like that we do go back and say, okay, because in the past, we've kind of had this contingency sitting out here, and we never really reconcile how much of it did we actually use for the year. I like that we're reconciling that. We're showing, okay, here's how much we set aside coming into this budget year. Here's how much our actual cost, because I love actual numbers as compared to budget, and here's where we actually ended up. So we're going to have to use this amount of this contingency this year, which helps us, I guess, for the next year as far as planning for contingency and setting that up. So I kind of like that reconciliation. You're right, but we are overshooting these things. In certain spots, at least we've got an amount set aside to cover some of that, to handle that. The other question that I kind of had is with regard to the medical, we're not pulling from the contingency for the medical, right? We're just letting that go into there. We can't do anything, just desert. But we anticipate that that's going to be paid back as we increase the rates, as we're going to have to increase the rates to make up the whatever $8 million negative in that. Am I understanding that right, Jeff?
Yes, you are correct, Supervisor Withrow. And actually, the rates that you established last October that went into effect in January of this year have already begun to exceed the expenditures of the program. This budget actually would have ended the year in a neutral position, or the fiscal year without this budget would have ended without a request for an increase in appropriations had we not just experienced that one bad month at the very end of the fiscal year, which was after our third quarter budget reported onto the board.
Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Hayes, going back to Supervisor O'Brien's question, if this item was not approved, would that create any problems in the medical self-insurance as far as paying claims?
The claims have already been paid. I would probably have to defer to the auditor just to make sure that there's not a technical issue that I'm not aware of.
Okay, let's see here. Do we? Are there any other questions for staff? Mr. Boggs? Like to address this issue?
Assistant Executive Officer, the Crow's Landing items are historically and annually ag lease revenues that are generated on site and they roll forward. It's the intention of certainly myself and the entire Crow's Landing planning team that these monies be used as match for grants and future infrastructures as this very real project becomes live late 2015. For some reason, I'll take ownership, it did not get forwarded into this next budget, and so it's ominously folded into this effort this morning that it really is the ag lease revenue from 2004 forward. Would very much like you to consider rolling that forward in the Crow's account.
Thank you, Mr. Boggs. Anybody from the audience wish to address the board on this issue? Good
Morning again, Dave Gere, former Modesto City Council. Early this morning, it was reported on a number of radio stations that a list of 1,500 cities and towns in the United States who have accepted HUD funding will be asked, many of them will be asked to house some of the children that have been coming across the border from the Central American countries. Has, for Dick Monteith, since the city, if Modesto is one of those cities, or any of the other supervisors have cities in that, has money been budgeted and has the fine print been read on the on what it means to accept federal grants through HUD?
I don't know the answer to that, Mr. Gere.
Would somebody be assigned to check into it?
We'll look into that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm not aware of anything. Anyone else like to address this board in this budget item? Seeing none, we'll bring it back to the board for action. Comments? Motion?
Mr. Chairman, I was making a comment that I think when we overshoot a budget like this, it should be an audit exception, and so I'll be voting no on this today.
Okay. Thank you. Supervisor O'Brien? Anyone else?
Mm-hmm. Not for motion?
Motion to approve staff recommendation?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second?
I will second that.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded to approve the 6 staff recommendation. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Okay, motion passes 4-1. Thank you.
Hey, Terry,
okay, we'll go back to our presentation that Child Support Services have been waiting for us patiently.
All right, there we go. Good morning, Chairman DeMartini, Board Members, CEO Risen, County Council Doreen, Tamara Thomas, Department Head and Director for the Department of Child Support Services. With me today and assisting with the PowerPoint presentation is Operations Manager 3, Rhonda Brown. Also with me from our executive team today in the audience is Marisa DeAlmeida, our Chief Attorney. And I would be remiss if I didn't, right at the beginning, acknowledge the in the audience our staff members who are here today. If they could stand, please, and be recognized. Without these folks' engagement on a daily basis, the work of child support could not be carried out. And we'll talk today a little bit about the responsibilities behind their work and the tough jobs that they have to carry on a day-to-day basis. But I certainly could not go without recognizing that all the work that the department does is a direct reflection of the staff that we hire and the staff that have a commitment to families in our community. August is Child Support Awareness Month. It historically always has been. We appreciate that the board takes this time to recognize that child support is an important component to families. The California Department of Child Support Services is in partnership with 51 other local child support agencies. And we commemorate August as this year's Child Support Awareness Month with a new theme, spreading the message, on the road of life, their future starts with you. The child support program establishes and enforces paternity, and it collects on those support orders. Child support is a source of income for 1/4 of all children in the U.S. and more than half of all poor families in the United States. And yes, our mission is to establish and support, create some support orders and establish paternity and collect on those orders. But you're going to see in our presentation today that we're trying to expand that role. We're trying to do some early intervention and try and have a seat at the table so that we can assist other folks in the county as a safety net for supporting children. And I do want to note that the program is funded just federally and state dollars. It is not a cost to the county general fund. In addition to our child support work, there is a health component in there as well. We do enforce medical coverage, and that has created an interesting partnership with the whole ACA component, and we expect to see more work along those lines in terms of how child support and supplying that medical insurance and enforcing that medical insurance will work with the exchange in California in the near future. So there are certainly benefits to parents for pain support. The impacts of pain support are many and contribute to not only positive financial conditions for children, but it can encourage parents to have a relationship with their child, to support that child in an emotional way. More and more studies are finding that a higher correlation between child support payments and the degree of an emotional support for children are tied, that as you see more consistent child support payments into homes, there is also a higher degree of emotional support being felt by that child. And currently the department is preparing to apply for a behavioral intervention grant, which will encourage our participation in that and the activities that go to support emotional support of children. And so more to come on that next week. You're going to see something on the consent agenda for next week that allows for us to apply and accept for that grant if awarded. Child support does create revenue. This should be a shot that you are familiar looking at. It's pretty consistent. The state of California overall collects about $2.3 billion a year, and in the last 6 years has collected $13.7 billion for families. Locally at our level, we continue to be pretty consistent. Considering the drop in economy and what we know to be some lost wages, we still did a pretty decent job while that economy was dipping. And we're hopeful. My goal is $50 million. We're going to hit that mark one of these years in the future here. Hopefully it's this next year. But we're averaging about $48 million a year. And over that six-year period of time, we've collected more than $288 million for families in Stanislaus County. The program's performance is measured in many ways. Specifically, you see up there our five federal performance measures. Cost effectiveness is also a really, really key important measure for how we rank within California. Our department was ranked 14th out of all 51 local child support agencies this past year, and so we're very, very proud of the work that we have done to get at that ranking. And our cost effectiveness is 9th in the state. Now, so we are collecting $3.53 for every dollar that we spend. While we're maintaining that efficiency and all of those high performance goals that we set for ourselves, we also pride ourselves on doing well in providing excellent customer service. We continue to promote the county's vision on this, and all employees have been trained in crucial conversations. They all have been trained in the past 2 years under a very in-depth customer service program entitled Customer Care. These folks out in the audience, they have a really tough job. Every day they come here, they're dealing with folks who we touch their employment, we touch their family, we touch their paycheck, we touch their jobs. Their past and their future relationships all get wound up into those discussions. And certainly their emotional state of mind. And so I really want to applaud the staff. We recognize that our role has been one of helping customers navigate through a very bureaucratic system. And we know that we need to stay informed and professional and provide that environment. We spoke last year about our successful partnerships. This year we've been fortunate to expand those partnerships. The probation department has assisted 551 shared participants who owe support and have collected for us $11,758.79. Superior Court of California has partnered with us in being the first 4D agency to go completely paperless in a court environment. So we have tablets in the courtroom and we are providing those documents right away to customers who are there. It's a wireless environment. It's very unique. I'd invite anyone to come down and take a look at that. It's very, very encouraging. Alliance WorkNet has assisted 167 of our shared customers by providing enhanced training on the job employment end. Community Services Agency has always been a partner with us, but has been active recently in looking towards future fatherhood initiatives to help in our joint mission of lifting children out of poverty. Some of our new partnerships, the Center for Human Services is doing parenting classes for us. Women's Haven Center has been doing domestic violence training for us so that we can meet the needs of the customers and make the right referrals. The mission of the California Department of Child Support Services is to enhance the well-being of children. And we know that we're more successful when we are invited to the table to partner with our partner agencies. And we certainly appreciate those invites. And boy, if you have any opportunity for us to sit at the table, we would surely like to take you up on that. Over the last several years, you've seen what we call the bubble chart. Our core mission really hasn't changed, but you can see all of the different levels of partnering that we're starting to do to expand what we believe to be early intervention, successful issues that will encourage parental engagement. And so you'll see us branching out more and more in those tentacles and those circles. As you know, last year this board approved us to accept a demonstration project from the federal government. We have enrolled 367 participants into that employment program. That's 180 people who are currently receiving job training and job placement. We are working very closely with those partners, those new partners that I mentioned, Alliance WorkNet, Superior Court is involved in our grant project, Center for Human Services and Haven Women's Center, and enhancing child support services. How can we do it better? Offering job placement, like I said, and job training for those folks who have never had those skills before. And again, offering those resources of parental classes. How do I be a good parent? And those are all peer-led, those parenting classes. So we're very grateful to our partners. We have had some very unique anecdotal feedback so far from the participants in that, one of which who hasn't worked for a number of years, 6 or 7 years, and is currently earning $20 an hour and is working full-time. It's the first time he's been able to actually pay his support on a sustained basis. Now more than ever, child support needs to be at the table. Like I said, we really want to expand the resources that we are able to offer and be a partner as a reliable source of income to families who need our assistance. Our goals are now centered around lifting children out of poverty, and that's where you will see our performance starting to take more of a central theme. As in prior years, you'll see this happen every August. We offer a suspended license release program for anyone who has had a license that's been suspended as a result of not paying child support. There's an opportunity to come in and negotiate with us for very limited amounts of money to get that license released. It's also a great opportunity for the public to participate in other programs that we have. We have compromise of arrears payments that can reduce their arrears owed on cases if they are eligible. And certainly we want them to take advantage of the grant that we have. If they want to, if they're underemployed and they need better skills and better jobs, we can help them with that. Just as an example, this license release program is a powerful tool. The next slide you'll see is a copy of what appeared on the front page above the fold. I think it really hasn't happened in a positive way for child support before. We're very proud of this article that depicts a gentleman who did get his license released, participated in the grant. He's been an advocate for doing business with child support, and it's a very inspiring example of what we hope all parents who are struggling to pay support will come in and talk to us about and find a way and a path to start making sustainable payments. At this time, I'd like to thank the board for their time this morning. We certainly appreciate your willingness and support to proclaim August as Child Support Awareness Month. And I would be happy and it would be my pleasure to answer any questions that you might have about the department or the presentation.
Any questions? Supervisor O'Brien?
Just a comment. Outstanding report this morning, but more important, outstanding job by your department.
Thank you.
You know, that $48 million that go to our families in this county are extremely important, and just a great job, great cost effectiveness. keep up the great work.
Thank you very much. Staff are doing a tremendous job. You know, they have just hung in there during some pretty difficult years for child support. We're going to make that $50 million. That's our goal.
Tamara, great work. You really are doing well in that department. I would say the same thing to the staff members. You guys have a tough job, and I completely understand. It's like a police officer. You have so many potential negative interactions, and it's how you react and seeing those numbers on how people respond to you. So thank you very much. It's very important to us. And the $3.54 for every dollar spent is the model of how the county should be operating, for sure. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Before I present the award, the grant that you got from the federal government, could you tell us a little bit about that? And
sure, I absolutely can. It's a demonstration grant that actually has both a control group and a treatment group, what we call enhanced services. So we need 1,500 participants. We have folks come in, they take a survey, they are put into a program that through the University of Wisconsin that just randomly assigns them to either obtaining those enhanced services or being in the control group. And we handhold those folks on both ends to say, okay, as a control group, you're going to continue to get the normal child support services that you would receive from any community member who came in to open up a case. On the enhanced services side of the house, that's where we are able to offer some incentives with Alliance WorkNet for some placement opportunities, working with employers who actually hold positions open for individuals who have child support cases who are in need. And then that additional training, we have a dedicated staff member that we fund over at Alliance WorkNet who does just child support participants only and helps them try and find that right training, that right skill set, that right placement to be able to have child support payments be made through that employment opportunity. Along that same line, they get the parenting classes that are available to them. There are 15 sessions. They get incentives for attending those parenting sessions in the way of gas cards or food cards so that they will continue to go down that path of trying to become better educated parents. So again, they can have that emotional support and desire to want to pay for the child support so that child can be taken care of. We are one of seven grantees nationwide who received that grant. We are the only California county to have received that grant, and we are getting lots of recognition in California right now. Our enrollment numbers are just starting to skyrocket. We have 369 people who are enrolled in the program. We need to get to 1,500, so we've got two more years to do that. This is a five-year grant. That fifth year will be the analysis portion of how all of that data rolls up and contributes to a person who has barriers removed versus a person who doesn't, and the comparison of those and who's more successful.
Okay, thank you. Once you come up, and I'll present you with the board resolution proclaiming August as Child Support Awareness Month.
Thank you very much.
It's always nice presenting a resolution for a department that's really doing well. And any department that can get $3.50 back for every dollar spent, certainly doing well. So anyway, I'd like to present you this. I won't read all this, but the 30,000 children that you're serving and the almost that $50 million you're collecting goes a long way into providing the stability for the families. And it's good for the children. So you've done a great job. You had good staff there. I've been out. I think I visited you about last month or so. I looked around. So anyway, congratulations on the job. Well done. Maybe we'll see you again next year.
Good protest.
Okay, we have no scheduled matters today. We will move to correspondence.
This board has received a report concerning the projected budget for fiscal year 2014-15 for the leases, prices, concession fees, and the schedule for the 2014-15 season of the Gallows Center for the Arts.
Acknowledge receipt and refer to the Chief Executive Officer.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
Acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports?
I just have a comment.
Supervisor Keza.
I just wanted to point out that Jenny McDaniel just walked in with a rep for Congressman Jeff Denham, and he is carrying that tie just wonderfully. So, it looks really nice.
Darren, did you come here to address the board on something?
No, I did not.
Okay, always nice to see you. Any other Board of Supervisors reports? I would just like that one update on the Stan Sarah results for the year, because our year ended on June 30th. Stan Sarah's fund balance is $1,782,000,000, a all-time record. The return on investment this year was 18.31%, which is near a record high. And the income over last year stands at $227 million. So Stan Sarah had a really good year. I hope we can repeat that, but I don't know. No guarantees on that.
What's the funding level? At what percentage are we? 73?
Because we have the smoothing for so long, okay. Well, I don't have those exact figures, but it's about roughly going to be about 82%.
Wow.
We had great year at 18%, but we smooth it over several years, so it doesn't spike up.
Yeah.
But on the positive side, if we have a really bad year, it doesn't bring the fund down a lot either. But we've had about three consecutive years of 15% or better. $227 million is fine. It's a good time for me to quit while I'm ahead. If any member of the board wants to take my place on there, just let me know after the meeting.
You're going to trade him? Bill's going to trade you for air pollution.
I don't know if I want that one. Okay, legislative and fiscal management report, Mr. Risen.
No report except for the fact that we continue to watch the federal level when it comes to transportation programs. There's a lot of debate whether to do a temporary short-term measure out of the Highway Trust Fund, but that's been passed by the House, but the Senate's still debating, so we're watching that carefully. But outside that, no report this morning.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Risen. We will now adjourn to closed session. Mr. Doring?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have closed session to have conference with labor negotiator pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6. The agency negotiators are Stan Risen, Nancy Bronstein, and Jody Hayes, and the labor organizations are those listed on the agenda. We do not expect to report out on this matter.
Is there any public comment on this closed session item? Seeing none, this meeting stands adjourned.